And then the light came on. Christmas came. See, the light changed my entire outlook. The candles remind us, we don't have them here at Peace, but the lights remind us, God doesn't leave us in darkness to wander around. He's given us His light, and in His light is life. We live by it. Luther then went up to the tree, and the legend has it that he told his children, he pointed to the evergreen branches, is what he said. And he said, look how green the branches are. Look how healthy they are. We're in the middle of winter. We're in the midst of winter, and the branches are green, was the point he made. Now, I think we all know what trees are about, and branches, and leaves, and how they operate. As I looked out of my house just a couple of days ago, we have some maples that are in the front yard. They don't look very good right now, like dead, and well, they're alive, but there's no leaves. They're down. And I know what happened to those leaves. I picked up every single one of them. November came this year, and there was a lot of rain, and there was quite a few cold days, and it makes sense that there aren't any leaves. They pretty much all came down within a week. But what's interesting is that we walk just a couple blocks away from our house to Donovan's Christmas tree farm. That's real close to where we live. And as you walk through there, a lovely place to get hot chocolate and enjoy Christmas sentiments. But the Christmas trees there are evergreen. The branches, they look like they're thriving and they're healthy. How's that possible, you might think? Didn't those trees go through the same storms in November and have rain come their way? Luther looked to his children and said this, you children are evergreen branches. You are evergreen branches, friends. Christmas makes you evergreen. Christ offers eternity to you. John chapter 1 verse 9 kind of says that. It says, the true light gave light to everything. In other words, it gives eternal things, is what it's talking about. Life comes our way. There's conflicts, there's chaos, there's brokenness. We can get a pessimistic outlook, but let's remember, we're evergreen. We're evergreen. No matter what comes our way, we thrive and we grow. And we know that things are going, at the end of time, omega, in a good and positive direction, that God will put everything just right and eternal life is ours. Then finally, Luther pointed up to the top. He didn't have an angel on the tree, but legend has it that there was a star on the top of the tree. And then he'd say to his children, he'd said, God has given us signs so that we can know how much He loves us. That's what the wise men did. They looked to the star and they followed the star and they found Jesus. He'd say, look at creation. Look at the geese outside. Look at the scriptures. The scriptures are signs that God is with us. God doesn't leave us guessing where He is, in other words. A few years ago, I parked. I will never do this again. But I parked in the short-term parking lot at the Portland airport. Usually we do economy, but for whatever reason, this particular trip, I parked in short-term parking. And I thought I knew where I had parked. I came back, and I don't remember where I was, but I came back, and I was, I don't remember who I was with, but I came back with a lot more luggage than when I came, when I left Portland. I came back with a lot of luggage, and it was late at night, and I walked to where I thought the car was, and it wasn't there. Maybe you've had this experience. I didn't pay attention to the signs where the car was before I left. And I walked around and wandered around for what must have been 3 miles. I don't know if it was 3 miles, but it just makes it sound like a better story. Here's the point. God doesn't leave us wandering and guessing. He's given us signs. What is a sign? He's given us a family of God to be together and share life together. He's given us his holy word in Scripture to show us who he is and how he loves us. He gives us nature to see his intentional design on everything. How you decorate your tree. Now to get personal. How you decorate your tree says a lot about you. I read this just the other day. How did you decorate your tree this year? Don't answer that out loud. I'll give you some options here. If you decorated your tree in white, psychologists say that you're prone to have your house guests take off their shoes when they enter your home. What do you think about that? Is that true? If you decorate your tree in colors, different colors, it means that you're likely an extrovert. If you have blinking lights, it's likely that you have attention deficit disorder. If you decorate your tree with popcorn, I don't know, don't raise your hand if you do this, but if you decorate your tree with a line of popcorn going around the tree, you have way too much time on your hands. If your tree has a bunch of homemade ornaments, you probably have children at home. If you have red bulbs, it means you want your house, red bulbs only means that you want your house to be looking like a department store. If you have a yellow star on top, you're a traditionalist. You just like tradition. If you have a light scent, a light pine scent on your tree, it means that your tree's probably pretty healthy, doing okay. If you have a strong scent of pine smell, it means you sprayed on too much of that pine scent smell. And if you have a foul smell, it means that there's probably a dead animal somewhere in the tree. How you decorate your tree says a lot about who you are. We don't know if the legend of Martin Luther is true, but we actually do know this as I close out. We know that for 900 years in Europe, people celebrated Christmas with not a Christmas tree, but something called a paradise tree. For 900 years, from 600 AD all the way to 1500 and Martin Luther, this is what they did. On Christmas Eve, Christians would go out and they would cut down a tree and they'd place the tree in their home and they called it their paradise tree. And on the tree, they would place apples and wafers to remind them of the tree that was in the Garden of Eden. But don't you think that's really depressing? Because paradise was lost. The tree would remind people for 1,000 years that paradise was lost. Thank goodness to Martin Luther. He had a completely different view. With the candles and the branches and the star, Luther was communicating, paradise is found. It's not lost. So may that Christmas message, may the Christmas tree be something, maybe one or two nuggets here, so that each one of us can share what Christmas means in our families, in our networks, in our neighborhoods. Amen.